your brothers and sisters in Christ, and any and all visitors that we have this morning. Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. How quickly things can change. At the beginning of this week, we began our vacation Bible school hearing about the ocean commotion. And these kids hopefully can tell you that commotion means chaos. It was probably pretty chaotic out on those waters that Noah's Ark was floating upon. Some of the kids in front had probably heard the account before of Noah. And for some of these kids, it might have been their first time hearing the account. Over the course of the 5 days from Monday to Friday, it's hard to think that these kids would have learned nothing. In fact, it's probably more likely that they most certainly learned at least one thing, if not many things, over the course of this week. And you've just heard how well that they've been hearing or learning these songs in just 5 days. Yet life is not about the collection of things, not even the abundance of knowledge. The sole requirement for life is faith in Jesus Christ and Him crucified and risen for you. That truth is revealed in the account of Noah that we studied this week. While Noah's neighbors all worried about collecting material possessions, eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark, they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. All but Noah and his family who believed. The same is true today. Don't fool yourself into thinking that that was then and this is now. Don't let society tell you that that account never happened. After all, don't the thoughts of humanity kind of blow back and forth? Aren't they kind of a commotion or chaotic? First they tell you that the egg is healthy, and then they tell you it's not healthy, and then they tell you it's healthy. Smoking was healthy, and now it's not healthy. Pluto was once a planet, and now it's not. Do you want to trust your soul to the winds of human thought? Or do you want to put it in God's word, which is sure and certain? But again, some might say, that was then and this is now. Well, Jesus himself thought that the account of Noah was worth mentioning in Matthew chapter 24. We heard Jesus spoke the words from just a moment ago, that they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. And Jesus continues that that is how things will continue until the coming of the Son of Man. As we learn this week, God promised that he would not flood the entire world again. And he gave that miracle promise with the rainbow, the first rainbow ever. And so it is true that when the Son returns, he will not destroy the world by water. But in 2 Peter, we learn that he will destroy it by fire. Are you ready? Turn with me then to our gospel text, and we'll see what Jesus says about the sole requirement for eternal life. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Does any of that sound familiar to you? Fighting over possessions? That's my book. That's my doll. That's my DVD. He's not sharing. She's not sharing. Give it back. Give it to me. If you are so concerned about things, hear what Jesus says. Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Turn to your bulletin cover and look at it for a minute. Would you agree that that's a nice looking barn? It even looks like it has a fresh new coat of paint on it. Yet what will that barn be worth for the owner when he or she dies? It is a nice tool for us to use when we are alive, but it will mean nothing when we're called by God in death or when Christ returns. The same is true for any possession, no matter what it is. They're all useful tools, and some may be more technologically advanced or more functional than another. But again, what use will they be when God comes calling? The scripture says, do you have a dispute with your brother or sister, your mother or father? Don't let it continue too long. You never know when Jesus will return. It may not be for another 2,000 years, but it may be in 2 hours from this very moment. Is your concern with your neighbor worth more than your soul? The scripture says, if anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. If your desire for your possessions or those of your neighbor, if that's where your concern is, repent and turn to Jesus, the Son of God, who loves you so much that he died for you to take away your sin. But Pastor, is it okay to have possessions? Well, yes. God desires that we have possessions and that we are able to use them and the things that we need, and sometimes even more than what we need. The problem is the sin of either focusing on them completely or more than him. Just look at the parable that Jesus told the crowd in the following verses that we heard just a few minutes ago. As you look at that parable, you might notice that the man was rich, and yet again his crop had produced a good yield. You might see that he was using good logic and deciding what he was going to do with that abundant crop. And you might think that his saying that he can relax, eat, drink, be merry is his problem. Yet even in Ecclesiastes, our Old Testament text for this morning, Solomon wrote that there is nothing better for a person that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil, which Solomon also wrote is from the hand of God. So it is that God desires that we enjoy the possessions he has given to us, his creation and all those things. It also is good that we should share with one another. That doesn't mean that we have to all the time, but that's what we find Jesus' apostles doing in the book of Acts. In Acts 5:32, the apostles are living in the Spirit of God, and they had everything in common. So it is good and proper to share with one another. But was hoarding and not sharing the sin of the rich man from the parable? Maybe that was part of it, but look again at what Jesus says. The problem is when one lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. God told the rich man just before he died, "Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?" Is your soul prepared? Jesus may return at any time now that he has ascended back to heaven. We don't know the time or the day. Are you ready? He may very well return while you and I are alive. Or if Christ returns first, during our lifetime, he will come calling when you die. Do you want to hear him speak the words from our text to you? "Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?" As Jesus says, so is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Again, God gives us what we need. That's why Jesus continued saying, "Therefore, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them." That's not actually on the back of your bulletin. I noticed that I went a little bit further than what I needed to, but this all ties into what Jesus was talking about. God already knows everything that we need, and he is more than willing to give it to us. The verses continue that we can look at the birds of the air, and he gives them what they need. We can look at the flowers of the fields and see how well they are dressed, and know that he will dress us as well. But while others strive so hard to get these things and ignore God and his word, Jesus told his hearers and you this morning, instead seek his, that is God's kingdom, and these things will be added to you. There again is that soul requirement for your soul, being rich toward God in love for him. The problem is that none of us can do this from our birth. We're all born blind, dead, enemies of God. But God, in his great mercy, sent his Son, Jesus Christ, into the world, not only to preach and teach as he was doing this morning, but to go to the cross of Calvary. He went to the cross and paid for all sin of all time. He paid for those sins that we commit, those times when we don't share as we should, and those sins of which we are not aware, and even the sin of our very nature, being blind, dead, enemies of Him. He has paid for all of that in His Son, Jesus Christ, and Him crucified for you. All of your sin was paid for on the cross of Calvary. Yet just hearing about it is not enough. As we heard this week about Noah and his family, they believed the Lord. They didn't just hear the word and ignore it. They believed it. But again, how are we to do this? Well, on Friday, we had four miracles that we all got to witness. Four baptisms, where the water and the word were given to four individuals. And in that washing of holy baptism, God gave them His Holy Spirit. And for all of you who have been baptized, you also have the Holy Spirit. And God's Holy Spirit works not only through the sacraments, but also through His word. All of you who are hearing the word this morning from the lectern and from this pulpit, God can work through the Holy Spirit to create faith in your heart, and He is at work doing that even as I speak. What is more, God's Spirit works through the word, the words that you heard just a few minutes ago and from this sermon. The sole requirement for your soul is faith in Jesus Christ, faith just like Noah's. And God is working through His word so that you might be brought to saving faith in His Son, the very Son who died for you, ascended into heaven, and is going to return, even Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds ever faithful unto life everlasting. Amen.